I want to try to share again the message I had on last week, because if you get this and understand this, there's some things that God would do in your life and would make a difference. You switch sides on me, so you kind of threw me off, Sister Reeves. She's always on the right hand, you know, so when she's on the left and on the second row, you know, you don't know what that's about. Amen. I didn't hear what she said. Oh, she doesn't want to miss a word. Okay, all right, okay. Amen. Listen, before we get started, I want to remind you again of prayer meeting. You need to come to prayer meeting. And if you're not working on Tuesday night, or you're not in school, or you live more than 20 miles away, all right, you need to come to prayer meeting. Amen. Amen. You, because there's a time of impartation, of receiving the word and growth that takes place. And again, tonight at 6:30, we're going to be talking again and sharing what's happening with our church. It was an exciting meeting last week, and so 6:30 tonight, we have some wonderful things to share with you. We want you to be there. Okay, do you have your Bibles? Good to see you, John, Robin. Good to see you guys. Do you have your Bibles? Okay, listen, this is what I want to do. I want to try to teach this. I want to share something with you, but if you don't understand what it's based on, you won't be able to use it properly, okay? So if you would get this part, okay, and then I can share the thing that Lord has been troubling me with. You remember I said most of us do not recognize the answers to our prayers because they come in a form that it does not look like the answer. See, when you're God, you don't have to make it look like a car for it to be a car. No, seriously, God can just say car. You don't have to see a car. When you're God didn't have to see it, you know, and say, I have to see a car to call it a car. Once he says it, it is there. Which means most of our answers come in a form we do not recognize. And so we're wondering how come God is not answering our prayer, and he sends the answer in concentrated form. And that's really what I want to talk about, all right? I'm not there yet. I'm trying to prepare you to receive that. So when we talk about the answers God has sent, you will start seeing them differently. Are you following that? So before I get to the concentrated form of your prayer, like you've been around concentrated orange juice in the freezer. It doesn't look like orange juice. It looks like a block of orange something or another. But it's concentrated orange juice. And you have to know to put the water on it, amen? And it becomes, stir it up, it becomes like a gallon or so, a half gallon of orange juice. The answers to your prayers come like that. But because we don't think right, when the answer shows up, we do not recognize the answer. And because we don't recognize the answer, we stop moving forward with God and we never add the water. And we never stir it up. Now, that's what I want to talk about. You follow? So please, let me back up. I'm talking to myself because I need to back up to make sure you understand, because that's something we have to shout on and operate in. All right? You ready? So let's back up and make sure we're clear. According to what we read, we were in Judges chapter 1 and Judges 2 and Judges 3. I want to look at those scriptures again. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take my jacket off. And if you do, I'm really going to take it off, amen? It's like it was over in Ghana. They did not like me preaching without my jacket, so I would wait until the sermon started, and I took it off. You know, religious spirits, amen? You have to have a suit on to hear from God. So who did he talk to before they made suits, you know? He had to wait until it... Yeah. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, now, this is a beautiful thing here. You want to get into a dialogue with God. You come to prayer meeting, we actually gave a prayer assignment. You remember that prayer assignment? We were to go around and look for what God is doing. Because God is busy today. We don't want to be lined up with what we're doing. We want to line up with what God is doing. Right, Tanishka? And then if we see what God is doing, then we can work with that. So the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Verse 2, what did the Lord say? The Lord said what? Judah shall go up, right? They wanted to know who's going first, and he said, who's going to go first? Judah. And what does Judah represent? Judah represents praise, right? So the first thing we get into is praise. We want to make sure we're people who praise God, right? So he said, you want to win this battle? I've given you the land, right? I have delivered the land into whose hand? Judah. So praise helps me acquire what God has given me. You literally change your future by praising God. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Some of you cannot praise God yet because you don't understand what praise is about. And because you don't understand, you can't enter into it faithfully. I mean, you can do it because you see other people doing it. But if you understood that praise is actually work, where you are, praise is filling out the application for the blessing you want. Praise is literally sitting down before God and writing out, this is the blessing I want and believe you for. I do it in the form of praise. So he said, I got the land is yours, send Judah first. So Judah goes out first, right? Look at chapter 2 and verse 3, you remember he hooked up with Simeon, his brother, and Simeon represents prayer. Chapter 2, look at verse number 18. And please allow me to teach today. I want you to stay alert. Verse 18, when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Verse 19 of Judges 2. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them, to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Is that what your Bible says? Your Bible says then that there were a group of people that God blessed, and as soon as the judge were dead, they refused to obey God. They were stubborn, and they would not do what God said. Is that what your Bible said? Now watch what happens. Verse 20. Verse 20 says, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not done what, everyone? So they haven't listened to me, and he's talking about not just hearing, but obeying, because in the Bible, when it talks about you hear the voice of God, you hear it and obey, right? They're not obeying me. 21, I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may do what? Prove or test. God is saying, I'm going to allow your problems to remain in front of you and use them to test you. And what am I testing for? I want to test whether or not you will keep the way of the Lord, to walk in it as your fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove or test Israel by them, even as many of Israel has had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know, to teach them to do what? So I'm going to leave nations, stay with me, I'm going to leave nations to test you, to see whether or not you're going to obey me. I'm going to leave nations to teach you to war or to teach you how to fight. You're going to have to fight to obey me. My mind just jumped to the end of the sermon. You're going to have to fight to obey me, amen? Tell your neighbor, you got to fight to obey God. All right? Now, look at verse number 4. That they were to prove Israel by them to know whether or not they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers. You have that? Now, let's go to work where we were last week and see how far God would allow us to get today, right? It is apparent from reading the Bible that God is not the one who controls how blessed you are in life. I will say that again. When you read the Bible, it's clear God is not the one who controls how blessed you are in life. And for somebody, it sounds like a slap in the face because your life is all messed up. But I guarantee you, if I was from Louisiana, that God did not make the choices you made. According to the text, God has already said, the land is yours. If you send out praise first, and if you obey me, the land is yours. God, listen, is in control of what he says. You are in control of what you do with what he says. And whenever you don't do what God told you to do, based on what he said, then you are in trouble either way. God's word is true. If you obey God, you will be blessed. And if you disobey God, you will be cursed, based on what he said. So you can try God by disobeying what God said. God doesn't have to change what he says. He simply lets you control what happens in your life based on your response to what he says. He controls what he says. God is not a dummy under pressure, feeling the pressure to bless you. So you got him in a corner, and now that you freed us from Egypt, you better bless me. No, God is not a dummy. God said, the land is yours. You praise me first, you got it. So I control what I say. You control what you do based upon what I say. God has already said everything he needs to say to provide every need in your life. God doesn't have to say anything else. Matter of fact, he has already said his son is coming back. He's already said the dead will be resurrected from the grave. He doesn't have to do anything else but wait on his word to accomplish what he sent his word to do. And whether you believe his word or not, his word will get in the person next to you, and they will do what God said and be ready for Jesus to come when you are not ready because you didn't do what God said. He doesn't have to say anything else. You're saying, God, I need you to answer my prayer. I've already answered your prayer. I've already told you no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I didn't say they won't make it. I just said it won't prosper. I've already said you're more than a conqueror. I've already said that God help me. I've already helped you. When I put Jesus in you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in you, greater is he that is within you. You're so strong now, one of you can chase 1,000. And if two connect up, it exponentially multiplies to two chasing 10,000. It doesn't go 1 to 2,000. It just jumps over and above that. God doesn't have to say anything else. He doesn't have to say anything. He's already said it. Now, the beauty of God, he keeps talking. But he doesn't have to say anything else. You are in control of your response to what God said. Some people respond in faith, get this, and they receive what God said. Some people respond in disobedience, and guess what? They receive what God said. Either way, you're going to get what God said. Are you getting that? The world is different than we see it. That's where I got to go. We don't see the world as the way it really is. God said there's nothing that you see that came from anything that you see. I see wood on the floor. I assume it came from a tree. God is saying the wood on the floor didn't come from the tree. The wood on the floor came from his word that said tree. The tree, word, made wood. So I got to understand the world differently. I got to flip it back up, right side up, where the word runs the world. We're going to get there. So if God said it, Guess what? Watch this. You can believe it if you want to, or you can disbelieve it if you want to. Guess what? You're going to feel the effects no matter what. If you disobey what God said, guess what? You're still going to receive what God said if you disobey him. If you believe what God said, you're going to receive what God said you're going to receive if you believe it. Now, the problem is, we come to church and we are crusted with unbelief. We're like an oven where you drip the oil and the grease and the stuff from the pie all in there, and it's caked up and baked up. We come to church crusty with unbelief. We need some easy off in the spirit, amen? The spray all over you and the scraping and everything. But you have itching ears. If the preacher comes at you too hard, you get scared and run away. And this is no time for easy preaching because you're not easy to be around. You are more crazy than you think you are. Amen. And we live in a crazy world. It's no telling what's going to go on any moment from the next moment. They're killing people at 2 o'clock. That's only the ones you hear on the news. You didn't hear about the ones that were killed at 1 o'clock. And you think you're safe because you weren't on the freeway at 1. But everybody that died didn't die on the freeway. Mm-hmm. And everybody that died haven't been found yet. Somebody's been burying bodies. There's a serial killer in this area, and it hasn't even hit the news. In this area. Hadn't hit the news. I'm wondering, how come it hadn't hit the news? Because some of the people who have been killed have not been newsworthy. Wait a minute, and you think you're safe? You think you're in charge. You don't even know where the serial killer is, but guess what? God knows where he is. And you better learn how to run with God if you're running at all. Are you listening to me? The key to receiving what God is releasing is to do what God said. Are you following that? Okay. This is another concept. God mostly does what he says in word form. Did you follow that? Okay. Most of what God does, he does what God doesn't have to go and build a house. Right? He just says house. Everything he wants is in the house. Stay with me. So most of what God does is in word form. It's all in there. When he says it, it's all there. Stay alert, stay alert. If you don't do your part to obey what he said, you will not receive the blessing that he made for you in his words. See, when it comes to God, his words are the containers that he uses to put his blessings in. His words are the sandwich bags. Words for God are Tupperware, Saran wrap. His words is... those are purses and wallets that God puts his divine credit cards in. He puts it inside of a word. So when God says it, the credit card is in the wallet, in the word. If you obey the word, if you obey God, you get to pull out the credit card that is in the word. But when the power of God comes to you, you only see the word or hear the word. You don't see the credit card because you're walking by sight. Your thinking is messed up because in order for you to be helped, God has to come down and actually work on you. And you don't allow his word to work on you. The most powerful thing in operation in the world is not the atomic bomb. It's the word of God. God is holding the world in space by his word. He set it there by his word. And he didn't have to go back and say, get back on time. The world has never been off track once God gave the word. He doesn't do most of what he does by action. He does it by word. Are you there? So now, God, here's another one. I'm trying to get you to where you can operate this, right? God always plans ahead. Always. You look at the creation of the world. He put plants in place and all that kind of stuff, but he had the sun to hang over them and make sure they're okay. He didn't put everything in place and then at the end say, oh man, maybe I need a sun to keep the plants going. Maybe I need to make a man to take care of the stuff I made. No, he plans ahead. This figure doesn't work for God, but it works for us. He plans thousands of years ahead. It doesn't work for God because he's everywhere at the same time, right? So how could he ever be 1,000 years ahead of where he was, right? He is, right? But for our sake, he plans thousands of years ahead. So 2,000 years ago, he had Jesus die on the cross. And guess what? The death was so powerful, Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross ever again. It's already done. But it was so powerful that before Jesus died on the cross, in eternity past, he was already approved by the Father that what you would do in the future would be all right. I know I lost you there. That was just for me. I wanted to say that. That he operates like that. So when your problems, listen, when your problems show up, you can rest assured God has already solved that problem even before it arrived. You didn't hear that. And the reason you don't receive it is because you think God has to come down and fix it. He fixed it when he allowed it to come your way. He would not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But along with the temptation, provide a way of escape. God doesn't wait until you're hungry to fix your dinner. He prepares a table before you, even before you're hungry. God will gather all of your enemies up, and you think you're about to be destroyed, and God just saying, we're about to have dinner. And the reason I will give you dinner in the presence of your enemies is because some of your enemies used to be my buddies, and I'm showing them what they missed. Once God releases his words out of his mouth, get this, so he releases it out of his mouth, all I need is a word from the Lord. Man, one day I'm going to preach this. I just feel it. All I need is a word from the Lord, then you and I become responsible, listen, to receive that word through obedience. How do we receive the word of God? Through obedience. He releases it. We receive it through our obedience. So those of you who are disobeying God today, you are in trouble. This is not the kind of God that you can disobey and get away with. You cannot dis God. He was the first one to say, don't play with me. What, you want a piece of this? The first one. You remember Lucifer tried it? And Jesus said, man, I saw him get kicked out of heaven like lightning. God releases the promises out of his mouth. How do we receive it? Through our obedience. Through our obedience, we behave like somebody who believes. So a believer obeys. When I'm in unbelief, I disobey. In other words, once God releases the promise out of his mouth, the promise and blessings are available to be received based on my obedience. I then become responsible to receive. Do you have that? Did I put you all to sleep? You got to get this. Once it's out of his mouth, how do I receive it? Through my obedience. Who is responsible for me to receive it? Okay, I'm responsible, right? And I show my responsibility by obeying God, right? Which means then, if I'm living a defeated life every day, whose fault is it? Huh? It's not my neighbor's fault. It's not my daddy's fault. Amen? Some folk are mad with mama and daddy, and they've been dead a long time. The first step is, and we talked about it last week, you humble yourself before God. You ask God, God, what's wrong? Why is it that I keep returning to my own vomit? Why is it that I'm still unhealed and I'm in church? Why is it, God, that I can worship you and yet not want to obey you? Pastor, is that possible? You remember Lucifer was the worship leader in church in heaven. I'm not talking about my worship team. I know they love the Lord. Amen? Amen. But if they don't, they better get right. Amen? Lucifer was the worship team in heaven, leading everybody. I'm willing to worship you but not obey you. So first, I got to go to God. God, help me to overcome my problems. I got to recognize, God, I'm responsible. You remember I told you about a prayer? I prayed with God, and I cried. I would cry to God and say, God, why don't you change me? Why don't you fix me? You're telling me this stuff, but you're not telling me the other stuff I want you to tell me. God, please help me. You know me and my little pity pot? The beautiful thing about God, he hung out with me, right? Yeah, and just let me whine on through life. Man, I did some serious whine. I would lay back on my bed, you know, God, you know, because, you know, if you really get into it, you know, he's going to show up. He's like, man, come on, please, come on, man, you know, all angels listening to you, tripping. And I remember the change that happened. I was at out near Santa Barbara, up on the top of the hill, and I've been there praying. I said, God, you got to change my life, man. I can't live like this anymore. I'm messed up, and I can't fix myself. I need you to change my life. What are you going to do? And he's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, what? What am I going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do? He said, you can throw yourself off of this hill if you want to and bust your head wide open. Yeah, I didn't think it was funny, but I mean, or you can go back down the hill and do good. What are you going to do? I'm like, you mean it's on me? Yeah, it's on you. That's why I didn't answer your pity cry. Now, if it was a different kind of cry, I would have been there. But no, you pity, 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 pity. Oh, God, help poor me. Help poor you. I already told you. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Get up and live like I told you to live. Go back down the mountain and do good or bust your head wide open. Either one, you are in control. And if you jump off the mountain, I'm not going to catch you because I've already said don't play me like that. Jesus fixed it, didn't he? He said, don't tempt the Lord. Talking about, Lord, I'm so tired of my life, I'm going to run in front of a truck. And if you love me, stop the truck. No, I put the law of motion in place. And guess what? My word still stands. You'll be like a tomato at the end of the day, amen? Amen. Understand what I'm saying? Are you ready? The real issue is whether or not I'm going to obey God. Remember my deal on the mountain? His issue was, you can go down the mountain and do whatever you want to do. You can go down and be the biggest crook in the world. Fine. My word still stands. I got a word for crooks. I got a place for them. The issue now is obedience. What is the issue? Obedience. Would you ask your neighbor, are you obeying God in all things? Children, ask the child sitting next to you. Yeah. Yeah. Are you obeying God in all things? That's the issue. Are you obeying God? The responsibility lies with you. Are you going to obey God? If you're not, now, are you ready? If you're going to obey God, you have to change your thoughts. You remember the war? You have to fight against your own thinking. Because my thinking now goes in the direction of defeat. Because I'm a victim. Anyway, that's a different sermon. All right, let's work on our thinking. Do you have that? Number one, we're responsible to obey God. Are you clear about that? Is your neighbor responsible to obey God? Do you know if your neighbor doesn't want to obey God, you would allow them not to obey him? They would just have to pay the price. They would get paid for disobedience, just as we would get paid for obedience. Both get paid. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And please stay with me, stay with me. How are we doing? Are you all still alert? Yeah. Listen, let this sink in your heart and just deal with it, deal with it. Because what I need to share with you is helping me understand answers to prayer that God is always sending. Remember, we don't think right. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, we were talking about that some last week. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God. So I'm asking you, listen to me. That you present your what? Okay, now watch this. You got to take your body and present it to God as a living sacrifice, right? Holy, acceptable unto God, and that is simply reasonable. All right? Number two. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that what? Good, then acceptable, and then will of God. So if I change my thinking, guess what? I start doing that which is good. But do you know the enemy to the perfect is that which is good? Because we will stay on the level with that which is good and never get to that which is acceptable or even perfect. So if I don't ever work on my thinking, I will be stuck below that which is good. I won't at least get to good and then acceptable and then the perfect will of God. And I cannot get there until I change my thinking. And how do I change my thinking? I change my thinking, stay with me, by letting my mind be filled up with the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is alive. Even though we think it's dead because it's printed on paper. But if you read this, this would go through your mind like a Holy Ghost virus. And it will corrupt the sinful thoughts of your mind. It will erase your hard drive. It will rewire your system. You change your thinking by dwelling on the Word. You study the Word. You pray the Word. You speak the Word. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Because as God says it, that's how it is. That's why God can say, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He can say that because he knows you will see stuff. But the Word says, I'm not afraid. And when you stand up and resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee. And there's a spirit of fear. Are you listening? There's a spirit of shame. Because you fail so much in life. As I was reading this, the Lord put on my heart, there are some mothers in the church or listening on tape or whatever who are so ashamed with life because they messed up with their children that they don't stand up with dignity as a mother in Israel when God didn't stop being God when his son Lucifer messed up. Lucifer, the biggest devil that has been let loose in the universe, made by God, but made himself a devil. And you don't see God coming to church and apologizing for being God because of the behavior of Lucifer. But the enemy will hit us with shame for years of failure. When your children decide, some of your children decided against God as soon as they could. They just didn't have the power to do it in your house. And here you are taking the blame for what they've done. You have to study the word, amen? Study the word. Study the word. Obey God in your actions, amen? How do I change the way I think? I have to change it. I allow my body to control my thinking, and my body controlling my thinking is off. I have to allow my spirit to control my mind to control my body. It is not the job of your body to control your thinking. When you disobey God, you no longer have the power to overcome the problems God gave you the word to overcome. If you think wrong, you live wrong. And if you live wrong, you act wrong, and you lose the best blessings God has for you. So you have to change your thinking, and that will control your body through the renewing of your mind, because when you renew your mind, your soul is prospering, and when your soul is prospering, you prosper in all things. How do you know your thinking has changed? Are you all still with me? I got maybe two more points to make. The first thing is, I am responsible. If I don't like where I'm living, what am I going to do about it? You can change it. I remember the years of debt. I was in so much debt, I never testified about it. I told you I wouldn't testify until I got out. Because I was in a lot of debt, thousands of dollars in debt because of years of mismanagement. And that monkey was on my back so big, I knew just about everybody down at the IRS courthouse. You follow what I'm saying? Been in all kind of misery, all kind of mess. But I had to make a decision that I don't want to live that way anymore. And a dollar at a time, $2 at a time, $3 at a time, are you listening? Changing my behavior, getting with people to show me how to think differently. Because my mind would run in one direction. So I'd have to sit down with somebody and say, how should I think about this thing? I was responsible. You are responsible. If your life is miserable today, look in the mirror. Stop blaming the devil. Unless you got a deal going on with the devil. Now that's another thing. And stop blaming God for the choices you made. How do you know your thinking has changed? And we're going to get into this. You know your thinking has changed when you change the way you act. I know my thinking has changed because there are some places I know throughout the city and I don't go there anymore. I don't even miss them when I drive by. Are you listening to me? My thinking has changed. My behavior has changed. When my thinking has changed, my behavior has changed, all this other stuff begins to change. And God said, wait a minute, that's somebody I can bless now because they are now obeying me. Where are we? Stay with me. I got a point I got to make with you. You follow me so far, right? Yes. Now, if you said amen, you're in trouble because we're going to test you in just a minute. Yes, we are. Wake your neighbor up. They gave me permission last week to call their name if they're asleep. I'm about to use it. Get this? You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Please, if you don't have a Bible, look on with someone. I'm preaching one thing. The Word of God has more to say than what I'm able to say, right? Just read it. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse number 3. Though we walk in the flesh, right? Let's talk about this body and everything. We walk around. We do not war after the flesh. You see that war word again? Okay, now watch this. So we're walking in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. And then it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy, but they're mighty through who? God, to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is like a castle that has been built. And we're talking about castles that have been built in the mind. So what do you have to do? You have to cast down what? Help me, Jesus. You can imagine yourself in a situation you should not be in, with people you should not be with. So you have to throw that thing down. Come on. Every high thing that exalts itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Where do you get knowledge of God? From his word, right? Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and what do you have to do? You have to literally bring into what? Captivity what? Every thought to the what? So I got a thought running out here. I have to literally go and get that thought and put it in captivity, right? And keep it in captivity, right? That is the warfare. The warfare is in your own head, in your own mind. The people around you are not the problem. It's you. Seriously. If you didn't have something corresponding on the inside of you, you wouldn't respond the same way. That's like you. I told you before, if we walked in a room and said all the ugly people need to leave, some of you would get up. Some of you would never move. Some of you think I'm talking about you now. Isn't that a shame? You messed up in your mind. You ready? Your mind, listen, will not automatically be renewed by itself. You can't renew your mind by itself. You have to allow your mind to change by the power of the Word of God. The Word of God will change your mind. The knowledge of God will change your mind. You have to allow the knowledge of God to come into your mind to change your mind, right? You still with me? God does not change the way you think. God has sent his Word to change the way you think. And you are the one who have to get into the Word so that you will have a renewed mind. God will not change the way you think. You have to change the way you think by getting into the Word. The Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. You have to hide God's Word in your heart so you will not sin against God. And you do not hide God's Word in your heart by listening to one sermon once a week. You cannot feed a starving person with a banquet once a week. They will hurt themselves every time. So some of you, and I'm afraid to say it, but it's true, have enough God in you just to get in trouble. You have enough God in you to say the devil is a liar, but not enough God in you to run the devil out. So you got enough God in you just to make the devil mad. You think I'm joking? You cannot hide God's word in your heart with one sermon a week. You can't hide God's word in your heart if you don't have a regular time of reading the word, because the world is set up to keep you out of the word. You don't work on your thinking, you work on spending time in the word. It's the word that changes your life. I don't want to live where 10 years down the road, you're living the same way you are and I'm having to watch it. I'd rather preach and make you mad today so you look differently tomorrow than to have you look the same for the next 10 years. So you are the one who has to change. And if you don't change your thinking, then you're going to be all messed up. Let's go to this point. How does God check to see if your thinking has changed? Here's the last scripture. Let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Watch what God is going to do to check to see if your thinking has changed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we testified, honey, at church about our experience the last week before we got in the building? Did we ever tell anybody about the people we met here at church? Did we ever testify about that? It was interesting, though, wasn't it? The week before we got in the building, the Lord let us run into all of our quote-unquote enemies. One right after the other. And none of them, we didn't trip off of any of them. He was just checking to see if you're ready to be blessed. I test you. I mean, everyone sat down to eat. They were sitting right next to me. I mean, the waiter brought them and sat them right next to me. And I was just able to say, hello, how are you? And go and enjoy myself. Walk in the store and the doors open and we, whoa. Well, hello, how are you? God bless you. And went on about our business, one right after the other. Could not get away. And God was just checking. I'm just checking to see if you need more misery. And we were able to say, bless you, Lord. It doesn't matter who. It really doesn't matter. And God said, okay, I can release this thing now. Day after day, day after day, everywhere, we just show up, and somebody that we thought was the one person to really be afraid of would be right there in our face. God just timed it just like that. I'm going to check and see what's in you. Just like God is going to do today. When you leave church, no, some of you are going to get checked before you leave church. When you leave church, God is going to check to see what is in you, whether or not you're going to go home and think the same way about yourself that you thought before you came to church. You've been hiding from God for the last 17 years. Like under a little shell, and on Sabbath you creep out of your little shell and you come to church to see if God is going to help you. And then you crawl back home and get under your shell. And sometimes on a bad day you bring your shell with you to church. And you hide under your little shell and say, this is the way I am. You're a liar. You weren't born that way. When you came out of your mama's womb, you said, I'm like everybody else. But you allow life to mess you up. But thank God for a new birth, amen? When the Holy Ghost gets you today, you'll be worshiping and praising God like you were born to praise him. He's going to test you. He's going to test you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Watch what God would do. Watch what God would do. I'm going to test you to see whether or not the word is in you. All the commandments, verse number 1, which I command this day, shall you observe to do. Do you have that? God said, I'm giving you commandments, and you better obey me, right? You observe them and do them, that ye may do what? Live, amen, and multiply, and do what? Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your what? Fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God did what? Led thee 40 years in the wilderness to do what? To humble thee and to prove thee to know what was where? In your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So what did God do? He would allow you to be humbled to see whether or not the word was in your heart. Because if the word is in your heart, no matter what's going on in life, you know you are the head and not the tail. You don't even trip about people. You'll be able to say with Jesus, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. They're messing with me, and I have a word in me to release them into their destiny. But no, when I humble you and you start tripping, oh, then I know you need a little more time. Do you see that? Look at the next one. He says in verse number 2, I humbled thee and approved thee to know what was in your what, everybody? Your heart. Have you hidden my word in your heart? 3, he humbled thee and he suffered thee to what? So then, I'm going to march you around and you're getting older. Yeah, your hair turning gray. Your skin starting to sag. You're starting to get hungry. God just said, keep on following me, and I'm going to march you to the point where you get hungry, and I'm going to see whether or not you're going to violate my word. I told you, don't turn to the right or to the left, but Lord, I'm hungry now. I want me some flesh that That was a test to see whether or not the word was in your heart. Because if the word is in your heart, you say, God, no matter what's going on, I won't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Some of us shout too soon. I would allow you to have the paycheck taken away. I would allow you to struggle with your utility bill to see whether or not you'll violate my Sabbath in order to make a dollar. Yeah, to see whether or not the word is in your heart. I would allow folk to leave you to see whether or not you know I'll never leave you. Loved ones would die around you, and I would check to see whether or not you're going to give up on me when I promise you a resurrection from the dead. Test you to see whether or not the word is in your heart. Everybody laughing at you, how will you respond? Is the word in your heart? And will you start taking vengeance on your own when God said, don't worry, vengeance is mine? See, we don't believe that. We might as well go before God and repent for not believing that. God, I didn't think you would take care of me. That's why I started tripping. That's why I thought I needed a sugar daddy. That's why I started violating the Sabbath. That's why I started robbing and killing and lying. I didn't think anybody would like me, so I would lie to keep people around me. Oh, and God is saying, I'm just testing you to see if the word was in your heart. Obviously, it's not in there. I wanted to know whether or not you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live, right? He said, if you stick with me, your raiment won't even wax old. Your feet won't swell. 5, you shall also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth you, right? Therefore, verse 6, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to do what? See, we fear everybody but God. And we play on God because we say God's going to give us a second chance. 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Anybody want to claim that promise for their life? Where I don't lack anything? What God is saying, then you obey me when I allow you to be tested. Can you stay with God during a bad time? Then if you can't, you're playing games. And the devil knows that. Your thinking is all messed up. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be blessed. You know, whatever. Because I know with God, I always have more. When you're hanging out with God and his word can turn stones into bread and can take 5 fish and feed thousands, he doesn't have to show you the food, man. He is the food. But because my thinking is messed up, I miss the answers to my prayers. Because when he's testing me, he's trying to find out what's in your heart. If I have your heart totally, if you surrendered your heart to me, then once we assure that, I can give you what I've already sent to you because you will obey me. Will you obey God in the small things? Let's pray. God, now we've had this experience that we call church, and I know you want to do more with us. I know you want to do more with us, not just where we come and sit and listen, but we actually take action based upon what we heard. I know you want to do more with us. Now, Lord Jesus, I challenge this group of people, myself included, that we're responsible. So we make choices today to change. We make choices today to be different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's start now. Could you stand with me and go to 3 people you don't I was almost going to say you don't like, but that'd be too obvious. But go ahead. Go to three people you don't know, you don't talk to. You have your own little group. And just say something encouraging to them and just go back to your seat. All right? Would you do that? Three people, if you would. Just do something different. That you not don't pick out people that you go through. You say, Pastor, I'm visiting. Find you three people. Don't be afraid of people. Something encouraging. Something encouraging. Something encouraging. Something encouraging. Encourage three people. Encourage three people. And after you encourage your three, go back to your seat. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your home. After you encourage your three, go back to your seat. After your three, go back to your seat. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. God is going to provide a breakthrough. Come on, after you finish your three. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Don't go to idle conversation. After your three, go back to your seat. Come on, praise team, help me out. Yes, Lord. Keep going, God.
The dark clouds will fade away. You speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart.
After you got your three, go back to your seat.
Holy Spirit, message of love.
That will bring new life.
Words on the wings of the morning, the dark clouds.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
If you speak to my heart, speak to my heart, Lord.
Come on, help me worship.
Give me your holy.
We need his word, come on.
If I can't hear from you, I don't know what to do.
I won't
go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide.
Yes, Lord.
And let your
come on, lift it up. Speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit
hallelujah.
Guide.
If you're not encouraging somebody, help us sing and speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Come on, give me your holy word.
Give me your holy
hallelujah.
Word.
If I can hear
if
from
I
you.
If I can hear from you, then I know what
I
to
won't
do.
Go alone.
I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide. And let your word abide.
Now we want the elders to come. We're going to do what we're not used to doing. You don't respond. You don't respond to appeal. Elders, come on. You don't respond to appeals. You don't stay around for this part of the service. But today, You're going to do something you don't usually do. And I'm guaranteeing you an unusual blessing. I want you to just get up out of your seat right now and just come to one of the elders or the group of elders and ask them to join with you in prayer. Just get up right now. Get up right now. Get up right now. And move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Do what you don't usually do. Receive from God in a way you don't usually receive from God. Receive from God in a way you usually don't receive it. Come on, come on, come on. Give me your holy word.
Speak to my heart.
Intercessors, come help the elders out. Come on, come on. Minister Ragsdale. Yes, Sister Olivine, come help the elders out. Brother Chris. Sister Stacy. Come on, come on. Here's somebody to pray you through. Come on, believe God. I want an unusual blessing today. I want an unusual blessing today. I want an unusual blessing. I want an unusual blessing. It's not the usual thing I do. Hallelujah. Believe God for life change. One word from the Lord. One word from the Lord. I need a breakthrough today. One word from the Lord. One word from the Lord. Hallelujah. One word from the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. One word from the Lord. One word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Every valley shall be exalted. One word from the Lord. Every mountain and hill made low. Come on, press through, press through. The glory of the Lord revealed. One word from the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Come on, press through and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One word from the Lord. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, I do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. That's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, press through, press through, press through, press through, press through, press through, press through. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness,
then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy. If I can't hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Teach us your spirit, God, and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. No, 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 no. I'll never go on my own.
Just let your spirit guide.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And let your word abide.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Give me your holy word.
Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you.
One word from the Lord.
Don't
thank you, Lord.
Do. I won't
you don't have to walk alone. Hallelujah.
Go on my own.
Hallelujah.
Just let your spirit guide.
You don't have to walk alone.
And let your word abide.
You can surrender to God today. One word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless in the name of Jesus. Bless in the name of Jesus. One word from the Lord. One word from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, thou shalt not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. Come on, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You're going to live and not die to declare the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I won't go alone.
Everything will change. Everything will change. Everything will change. Everything will change. God is saying, I won't remember your sins any longer. I will hide them in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah.
I won't go alone.
Hallelujah. Health to your bones.
I never go on my own.
A resurrection of
just
your dreams. Your peace coming back. You're able to sleep at night. You know the Lord is your husband. The Lord is your maker. The Lord is your provider. You're able to sleep again at night. The enemy has to go. The anointing is upon you. When you go into your house, things are going to change because the glory of the Lord will precede you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you pray now, you're going to feel the power of God. When you read your Bible, you're going to hear God's voice. Hallelujah. Things are changing around you. Things are changing around you. I tell you. Things are changing around you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not doing what I used to. Doing something different and receiving from God today. Hallelujah. You don't have to go alone. What people said about you, not true. You're better than that. You're better than that. Hallelujah. Somebody else needs to come for prayer. Somebody else needs to come for prayer. Let that yoke be broken today in Jesus' name. Let the yoke be broken today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I won't go alone.
Hallelujah.
I never go on my own.
Hallelujah.
Just let your spirit guide.
Hallelujah.
And let your word abide.
Would you just take your neighbor's hand? They were with you in worship today.
Speak to my heart.
And you're just a reminder to them. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Take your neighbor's hand. You're just a reminder to them that God is a God of love. He's a God of love. Father, as we bring this time to a close, we just want to bless you for the people who shared worship with us. We pray for our praise team. We thank you for blessing them to lead us into your presence. We pray for every member of the band, every person who worked hard to set everything up. We pray for the person beside us, God, that they did not give up.
No matter how tough it was, how difficult it was, they hung in there with you. Now, Father, we ask that you just pour your love on them. Help them to know that you want them to obey because you love them. So, God, we're going to trust you while we're being tested. And when you're ready, we're going to come forth out of the furnace shining just like pure gold. So we're going to start looking at our neighbors now differently. We're going to look at them successful. We're going to look at them delivered. We're going to look at them obeying you. We thank you. Every time they look in our eyes, they will see that we see them as certified children of God, obeying you in every area. So I squeeze obedience into my neighbor's hand. I let them know you don't have to give up. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Everything the enemy said about you was wrong. It is going to be all right. You are going to live. You are going to live. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be free in Jesus. Peace is coming like you've never known it before. Your Father has gone to prepare a place for you. Jesus is coming back to receive you. So just hold on to God. We remind our neighbors to pray for us. If they ever see us struggling, they will lift us up in prayer. Not talk about us and down us, but lift us up in Jesus' name. And so I commit myself right now for my neighbor that I will pray and lift them up and bless God for them in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.